Morning, church. So good to be with you. Jody, I'm just going to invite you, just if you can. This Jody is my wife. I've been pointed out from our community groups that I call her babe in the videos that we're making for that. So I tried not to, but it's hard. It's hard because I really love her. She's pretty awesome. So, Jody. I'm just going to invite you. Jody spoke last week, and she spoke specifically about 1 Samuel and Hannah crying out to God. And this last week, as she was driving, she was praying, and she had a few words that came to her. And I just want you to share those words with our church. And then I want you to pray for us, and then we'll jump into the message.
On Thursday, I was driving to CMC to do some more taping for the community groups. And ironically, if you know my history, I was so dyslexic in school that my name was Lodi. So the fact that God takes words apart for me is just his sovereignty in redeeming something that was like a crazy shame in my life.
Dyslexic, so that the J would turn to an L, Lodi. I don't know if you caught that. Okay.
Yeah. So my brothers still call me Lodi. Anyways, so the fact that he uses words to speak to me and has redeemed like spelling, but actually has totally blown spelling out of the water. So that's the history. So I was driving to CMC, and Joel had been sharing with me just some stuff that he had been writing for the AGM. And as I was driving and I was looking out at the water, God said, revival. And I was like, yes, okay. And then he was like, revive, and then in cap locks, all. A-L-L. I was like, wow, awesome. Okay. He's going to revive all, not a few, all. And so then we did our taping at CMC, and I was driving back, and then God said, renewal. And I was like, yes. And he's like, renew, and then cap locks, all, A-L-L. So maybe that will speak to you this morning. Joel just asked me now to share, so.
Yeah, that's good. Can you pray for us?
And I will pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you are in the details of our lives, that you walk with us, that you just love us. God, I just pray this morning that if someone has come in with a heart of stone, that you would make it a heart of flesh, that they would hear these words that Joel is going to speak about, just getting desperate, that our desperation would come from a place of longing for more of you in our lives. And God, we just pray over this message that we're going to hear. Give us ears to hear. Give us minds that will assimilate the words and the knowledge, and just paint a picture of your love for us this morning. God, revive us. Mouth-to-mouth CPR, whatever it takes, God, awaken us. And renew us. Renew all of us. Every day with your love. Every day with your promises. And every day with your hope. So God, just be with us this morning as you continue to minister to our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, love. What a gift. I'm excited about today, church. I'm excited. I believe that God is going to do some new things among us. I believe that today is going to be a day, especially for any of us who have at various times struggled with anger. I believe today is going to be a day of breakthrough, of breaking free. And so I just want to say that right up front, and I want you to get ready for it. I want you to get ready to hear God, and then I want to challenge you to be ready to respond and to move the way that God directs. Are you with me? All right. Here we go. So we are in this series called Get Desperate, and it is a good desperate that we're talking about. It's about releasing all things that would distract us, pull us away from pursuing the one true God. It's about orienting. It's about getting desperate to seek Him. If you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 20. Week one, we talked about getting desperate for the one thing. We were in Psalm 27. Week two was this call to lay down our lives. Week three, that was last week when Jody spoke, it was about Hannah, and this call to desperate, poured out prayer. Today we're looking at three stories, actually. The first is going to be in Numbers with Moses and all of the Hebrew people that were gathered around there, and the next is going to be in where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the final is where Jesus is at Bethany. And so if you're in Numbers 20, I'm just going to read this through. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now, just as I read through, I want you to take time and just process, allow yourself to consider all of the varied emotions that are going to be presented here. Remember, Miriam was Moses' sister, and she was this rock and this leader for the Israelites as they journeyed out of Egypt and then through the desert all these years. And this is near the end of their journey in the desert. Now, there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain, no figs, grapevines, or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Listen to the distress, the frustration, the anger, the complaints that are just leaking out of this people. And they're saying, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt?" In Egypt, they were slaves. They actually didn't have livestock. They were the livestock. And yet they're complaining. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You'll bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink." And so Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" And then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Picture, listen, right? Water gushed out in the community, and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." I want you to pause just for a moment. Would you pause, consider what resonates for you? What's the idea that you hear? Where is there a question that you have? Consider it for about 10 seconds, and then share that with somebody beside you, somebody close to you. Okay? If you're by yourself, you might have to lean forward or turn back. But go ahead, consider it, and just share. What's the word, the phrase, the idea? What stands out, or what challenges you even? All right, I'm going to grab you, pull you back here. So some may wonder, why do we do that? Why do we listen and hear and share? Where there's a reason. There's a couple of different reasons. One, we're community, right? And when we have to the opportunity to share with one another, it actually builds community. The other is we learn by grabbing onto things and sharing those ideas with one another. So there's a goal of developing community, of sharing with one another. There's this other idea, the final, maybe there's more, but what we learn actually shapes and impacts and teaches others. So it sticks in us, it builds community, and it shares as we move through. Man, there's a lot that happens in this passage, isn't it? And it's one of those passages that when you hear it, you go, God, why? Why? Like, why? Moses did all of this stuff for you, and then you block him off from entering into the promised land. Why? It's one of those passages that we hear and we struggle with. It doesn't quite make sense. Now, the title of today's message is Desperate or Defiant. See, sometimes we can think we're functioning in a right mind, that we're functioning and our anger is justified and it's righteous, but most often, with a few limited exceptions, when we become anger and act out of that anger, it actually is more defiance. We know that God's Spirit, when He fills us, equips us, it gives us fruit that we can live out of. And I don't know the last time that you read about what the fruit of the Spirit is, but anger isn't actually in that list. And so God's Spirit equips us and enables us and empowers us to function with this life. But when we succumb, when we give into anger, we're actually engaging in the opposite. And Moses is angry, isn't he? He's angry because of the people's complaining. He's angry maybe because of God's grace. God keeps extending grace to the stubborn people. Maybe he's experiencing the exact same thing. He's tired. He's thirsty. He's led these people to water so many times. And here they are again. Moses is angry and his anger goes after the people. Listen to what he calls them. Listen, you rebels. He calls them rebellious in the midst of being rebellious. Do you ever find yourself doing that in your life? No? Well, sometimes I do. Here's a great example. Kids are fighting, shouting at each other. You kids, stop it! Stop shouting at each other! Do what I say, not what I do. Right? Now God explains to Moses why it was that this happened. He says, because you didn't trust me enough. Because you didn't trust me enough. See, not only is anger revealing of this defiance, right? Desperate or defiant. This defiant gives birth to defiance, gives birth to anger. It also reveals a lack of trust on our part. A lack of trust that God has us, a lack of trust that God is big enough in the situation, a lack of trust that God has actually given us everything we need for life and godliness. That's 2 Peter. And we need to press in to that fullness. See, Moses, a time before, God had told him, strike the rock, and he struck it with his staff. And Moses, maybe by default, maybe by some other, but it was clearly a heart issue of trust. Instead of just speaking to demonstrate the power and the love and the provision of God, went into anger and struck, not just once, but twice. There's so much more to discuss, to unpack around Moses' life. And in your community groups this week, you're actually going to have a chance to move back into Exodus, where you see how God goes after Moses. And it's really fascinating. God asks Moses to go and to do, and almost every single time, Moses deflects. He goes, I'm not enough to do that. I can't speak. They won't listen to me. And every time God speaks to him and tells him how he will build him up and compensate, how he'll give him his brother, how God will be the one that does the work. And then ultimately Moses does it. But he gets to this space, this situation, and something is different. Something is different. Mark, can I grab you to come up here for a second? This is my friend Mark Eshelman. Mark was here a few months ago and shared a little bit with us then. And Mark and I were just chatting yesterday, and it somehow came up about the issue of anger. Now, Mark, do you want to just introduce yourself, what your background is?
Yeah, so a bit of my background is around counseling, and I am what would be called a registered clinical counselor or marriage and family therapist. And so I do a lot of couples counseling with adults and families around relationship issues, mental health issues.
Awesome.
Emotional struggles.
Now, yesterday you made a comment. I'm going to try and paraphrase. You can correct me if you want. Sure. But anger is one of the top issues that you come across or would imagine coming across. Am I capturing that?
Yeah. Often one of the top three issues that I often see, very common in couples counseling, and you typically hear it, you know, that man who's got anger issues, managing his anger, is one of the typical issues that people come in for counseling for, because they often get stuck in this type of anger that's happening in Numbers 20.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to do two things. If you can capture for us, let's say that you were in your office in a counseling situation, and yeah, Somebody from off the street came and was asking you to journey with them in their anger, yeah, how you would approach that, and then in a separate, and there's, I imagine there's crossover, how you would journey with us as a believer, yeah, saying, I struggle with, yeah, anger, how I need God's help.
Yeah. So I actually think there's a lot of crossover. I actually think what happens in the counseling room and what is going on in Scripture here is 100% congruent, because, you know, what stands out to me is verse 3 and 20, where it says, and the people contended with Moses. And so you have the people of Israel, they're in strife, there's conflict, they're frustrated, they're what we call having reactive anger. There's two types of anger in the Bible, right? And the New Testament talks about be angry and do not sin. And that's a whole nother sermon, but that is healthy anger. But there's the other anger that's going on here, which is a reactive, defensive anger. And I love how Joel characterized it. It's about heart issues. And so this is very typical of what I actually see, or very typical of what happens in our marriages, right? When we don't feel like our needs are getting met, when we don't feel connected, which is kind of what's happening here with the people of Israel. They've lost sight of the promise that God gave them. I'm bringing you out of slavery and fulfilling the promise into freedom. And they lose sight of that. And then what happens? What does God say? They don't trust me. Another word for trust is, we're not connected. You're disconnected, right? That's what happens when I rebel. I go off on my own and decide I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to be Lord of my own life. And so there's this disconnection here. And this is often what happens in our marriages, where one partner, we feel disconnected. We're not getting our needs met or cared for, right? This is what's happening with Israel. In the natural, they're looking and going, hey, we don't have water. We don't have food. I'm not being cared for. But it doesn't come out that way, does it? It comes out as this reactive, you're not caring about me. Right? And so often in counseling settings, what we call anger issues is this reactive secondary emotion. And what it often comes from is not being able to talk about our primary, what's often going on inside. And often the primary core thing going on is kind of what's going on with Israel. I feel out of control. I feel helpless. Maybe I feel hurt. Right? They're disconnected from God and they lost sight of that promise and being connected with Him and trusting Him as they walk through. And so there's no food, there's no water. What are we doing out here, Moses, in the middle of nowhere with water? We should have just died back there. Sounds like they're feeling quite out of control and helpless. But it comes out as this reactive anger. And what does it do? It creates contention rather than contentment. And so I see this often in counseling between couples where they get in these negative cycles of communicating and relating, and it's often driven by this angry, defensive anger. And so think about often what happens when my partner comes towards me and maybe it sounds like they're criticizing, attacking me or whatever, and I get defensive, maybe I get angry, react back. Often what doesn't get talked about is our needs or what's going on underneath that. I feel disconnected from you. I feel helpless, right? That all sounds very different than, why are you not spending time with me?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so that reactive anger is creating all this contention. And really what's going on is a connection issue here. And that's what God points out. The issue here is not, like the issue is you're not feeling cared for, but you're not staying connected to me. Right. That wouldn't be an issue if we stayed connected.
Right. Now, as you're journeying, you work both with people in the world and also with believers. So what would be, so somebody who knows God and understands God as the anchoring place of connection, you may communicate that differently with somebody who doesn't know that.
Yeah.
How would you go about that?
Yeah. So if we're talking like with believers, I think there's some good questions to ask ourselves if we're noticing, man, I walk around angry or frustrated a lot. I think the first question we need to like ask ourselves is around like, okay, what's that about for me? How are my connections doing? What's that about for me? Because I think when we read verse 3 and verse 4 in here, it's very clear to me the nation of Israel is not feeling cared for. And a part of that issue is actually where they have their focus on. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God had no problem meeting their needs. Actually, He had promised them that. And they were having difficulty focusing and holding on to His promise. And so I think when we walk around frustrated, angry, annoyed, I think we have to, like, first of all, ask ourselves, what's my focus? What am I tending to focus on? Where's my focus? Where's my thought? Am I actually holding on to the promises? Am I actually connected to those I need to be connected to, whether it be my spouse, whether it be people in close relationship in life, God? I think we need to start asking ourselves what's going on beneath that anger. Because often it's a connection issue, and God calls it a trust. You're not trusting in me. You're not relying on me. You're not leaning on me.
Right. Yeah, that's good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. Can I ask you to pray for us specifically around this area of of anger, of trust, and just for breakthrough?
Yeah. So God, I thank you for everyone here. God, I just pray that you just reveal to us, God, that you would just reveal to us, God, that you would speak to us about our own hearts, that you would help us, God, just kind of see ourselves and be able to kind of even just acknowledge those heart issues, because all kingdom issues are heart issues. And so, God, I pray that you help us see where we're at with ourselves, with you, in our close relationships. God, I thank you that you would just bring those who love us, who are closest to us in our lives, even to speak to us about, hey, where we're at and how they experience us. And so, God, I just pray that you would just help us even bring peace and contentment into our hearts in this season, into our relationships. Yeah, I feel like there's a real, you know, Jody stood up here and said God was speaking to her about renewal, and I feel like this is tied together. And a big part that God, there's a promise over this church. There's a promise over this house for renewal. And I hope you go home. I hope you write that promise down. I hope you hold on to it, because that's a promise from God. But a big part of renewal, as Jody was speaking, God was speaking to me that a big part of renewal is seeing things anew. Seeing things anew. Seeing situations in a new way, seeing circumstances that have created frustration and anger, seeing situations where we have felt stuck, maybe in our relationships at work, maybe in our situations at work, maybe in our relationships with our partners or our kids. And I feel like part of that promise is God bringing a new perspective and helping us see it in a new way, where we're able to see it where He's standing beside us and speaking to us about how do we walk in this situation? How do we react? How do we respond? Seeing things in a new way where we can bring peace and contentment and connection into those situations and circumstances. And so that's my prayer for you, for us this morning.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Thanks, Mark. Beautiful. Beautiful. This defiance is a real thing. This anger is a real thing. I know because it's one of the things that I talk about with you, my friends. But God is doing something among us that is going to set us free. Now, Clement, can I invite you to come up here? I'm going to invite one more person to share. This is our friend, Clement. And we are so glad that you're here with us. Clement and I were hanging out yesterday, and he was sharing with me just about how anger surfaced in his life and what he did and what God did. So I won't say any more. Can you just share, just like you did yesterday?
Okay. I was telling Joel that one morning this week, I was on my way to work, and I always pray in tongue when I leave home until I get to work. It's about 15 minutes. So just praying, dealt with what I felt I should pray and worship and intercede for before I leave home. So whatever I'm supposed to pray on the way to work is sometimes I'll get something to pray for someone or for a situation. But that morning I had nothing, so I just started praying in tongue.
Just put it just a little bit closer.
So. Oh, sorry. And so just that one morning, I had gotten up and did my prayer, and then all of a sudden I got angry. And I was like, okay, so just before I left for work, I told Jane, I feel this anger. I don't know where it's coming from, what it's for. I don't have any reason to be feeling like that way. So we prayed, and I went off to work. So I got in the car, started praying in tongue, and as I went to work, I was just getting even more angry. Like, I was just like, okay, this is not fun at all. It's like, and then I'm praying and praying, and then it's getting worse. And at one point I thought, God, I can't go to work and bring that, that spirit, what I'm feeling right now, to work. I can't bring that there. And I said, what is it? And all I heard is, just press through. And so I kept praying in tongue, got closer to work, and about maybe 2 minutes before I got to work, it lifted. So I figured, okay, still not knowing what the situation was or if it was for someone. I just found out later on during the day, it was interceding for someone. So that was my Wednesday morning.
Beautiful. Thanks, brother. Thanks for praying. Appreciate it. Appreciate you. Let's just give a thanks to God for Clement and for Mark. Psalm 106 says this, by the waters of Meribah, and that's the water that came out of the rock after Moses struck it twice, they angered the Lord, and trouble came to Moses because of them. For they rebelled against the Spirit of God, and rash words came from Moses' lips. You hear the psalmist, which we believe is David, speaking about how there's this response. And this response of anger, this type of anger is a rebellion. A rebellion against who? Against the Spirit of God. I was watching a video this last week of a guy named Blaine Cook, and he was talking about this difference between Old Testament and New Testament. That Old Testament, God's Spirit was visiting, it was visitation. New Testament is inhabitation. See, if we were to stop right now, there's a potential for us to be disheartened, discouraged, because we see Moses respond in anger and have this immediate consequence, this immediate cutoff from engaging in the promised land. But that's not where we are anymore. That's not where we have to be stuck anymore. And here's the connecting point. And so I believe God is speaking to us about anger. That's come up in a number of different ways, and in my own story these past weeks as well. But there's this hope that we have. And what getting desperate is all about, it's all about having awareness of what's going on, but turning our hearts towards God, because He is the one that sets us free. And so you have this beautiful description of what anger looks like and how we process, and it's a heart issue for Mark, and you have Clement's story of how he responded. What I want us to do is look at Jesus in Luke 22. Luke 22, 39 says this, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. So there's this beautiful thing that I think we just rip by often. Jesus went out as usual. He had established this pattern. He had established this going out, settling himself, orienting towards God. It says he went out, and on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you won't fall into temptation. And he withdrew just a little bit further beyond. And verse 42 says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel appears to him, strengthens him, and being in anguish, he prays more earnestly. Sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now we remember that Jesus was equally God, equally human being. And sometimes we'll look at Moses back there and we'll go, oh, well, it was just because he questioned or challenged God. Well, no, it wasn't just that. Listen to what Jesus says. He knows what's coming. And he asks God, is there any other way? But even in the midst of asking that question, there's this surrender towards the one thing. Not my way, God. Not my way, but yours. A heard this from a professor once, that Jesus was a better Moses. Jesus was a better David. Jesus was a better, you fill in the blanks. Because Jesus was called to similar situations, and yet he moved through all of them. Now here's the idea. One of these main lines through here is that the Old Testament meant there was this drastic, dramatic consequence, the result. In the New Testament, we have freedom from the consequences. That means when we burn with anger, when we make mistakes, when we do false things, as we turn and reorient ourselves, everything that was involved with that is pulled towards Jesus, away from us. Sometimes we'll think ideas like, well, I did that thing, and so I know that God's grace is great, and he's forgiven me, but he's probably not really going to bless me. And those are lies. You might be caught in this place of returning again and again and again, and maybe it's to anger, maybe it's to some other temptation, whatever it is, and you may be feeling like, I'm never actually going to get to the promised land. I'm just going to wait for heaven, because I'm just going to ride it out. And there's a chuckle, I think, because of the awareness that we can have that freedom and that fullness in this moment. Because of what Jesus did. Because of the cup that Jesus held and said, Lord, is there any way? But surrendered. He surrendered into what God called him to. And because of that work, we have freedom and then join in his work. Desperate or defiant? Desperate or defiant? We see another example of this in John 12. And Jesus is making his way to his friends, right? Back to Bethany, to his friends, to Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And there's this dinner that's given in his honor. It says this in verse 2, Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. And Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And Jesus says this in verse 7, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Now I want you to imagine this setting. It's this table. It's this important meal. And it's a U-shaped low table called a triclinium, I believe is the actual name for it. Low on the ground, and people are reclining. They're on their elbows, and their feet are extended out. And because it's a U, people are walking into the middle of the table and serving and putting things on the table. And so we've got Lazarus and Jesus and other important people around. And Martha's in there mixing it up and bringing the meal. And then there's Mary. And the reason that she was able to get to Jesus' feet was because everybody's heads were at the table and their feet were extended out. And there are a couple things that are so significant about this. Cultural things. One, it was okay for a woman to be in the presence of the men at this table in this time as a servant, serving in the middle, but this was something different. And normally, oil is poured on the head and anointed there, but Mary poured it on Jesus' feet. There's this deep, beautiful humility. And not only that, a Jewish woman's hair was supposed to be kept back and together, and she had to take her hair out in order to pour this expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. Now, there's so many different elements at work here. Remember when Jesus said to the rich young guy, he said, "What do I have to do? What do I have to do to get in?" He said, "Well, go sell everything you have and give your money to the poor, and then come follow me." Whereas here, he's saying it's okay for Mary to pour this expensive perfume. I think it's important that we hear here that Jesus isn't concerned about money. Jesus is, again, concerned about our hearts. So we've got Mary, who gets it, doesn't she? Mary gets it. Her heart is after the one thing. She understands, as much as she can at that time, how significant Jesus is. She didn't have the full revelation like we walk with. She didn't have that knowledge. And yet in worship, she takes this jar that's worth a year's wages, partially because of where it had come from. Nardis is from this Nepal, I believe, and the process of pulling the perfume out of it. And she pours it in this worshipful gesture, and she wipes with her hair. She was desperate to worship God. She was desperate for the one thing. And Mary was defiant towards the people around and what they thought. She was defiant towards any judgment or criticism. She was defiant towards the fear of human beings. And I think that is so essential for us to see and to understand. Because often, as we move into worship, whether it's together, when we feel a prompt to make some kind of a gesture with our body, whether it's to kneel maybe or to raise our hands, there's this, what will people think? What will happen? Or take this as an example, when we're out walking on the street and we get a nudge to either go and speak something to somebody or to pick somebody up or to do something, and there's this pause, right? There's this, I'm afraid about what they'll think, or they'll laugh at me, or. Mary was not captive to any of this. Beautiful. Desperate for the one thing. Defiant. Defiant to the cultural norms. Defiant to fear of man. And then we have Judas. And listen to the underlying anger with the words, the frustration. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. See, oftentimes we confuse being thrifty with being godly. We confuse saving a few dollars with serving God. Now, I 100% believe we need to be wise stewards. Don't hear me wrong in that. But God is an extravagant God. Money is actually not an issue for God. You see, Judas's defiance, his defiance is towards the worship. Right? His desperation is after the money or after the approval of man or after something that he can obtain. Now here's this beautiful invitation, church. I 100% believe that there's potential for today to be a marked breakthrough for a number of us. And if I can invite our ministry teams, if you can make your way up. I 100% believe that today can be breakthrough. The work is already done for us to step into the breakthrough. Do you know what I mean by that? What Jesus accomplished, the cup that he drank, the way that he went after the one thing, lived it. All of that work is accomplished. And now it's ours to step into. And so as we move into ministry time, I know that there are some of us, if not all of us, who are reluctant to come forward for ministry. And it could be that it's exactly related to what we're talking about here at the end, that there's a fear of, well, what will people think if? Well, what if people can't process? What if they can't handle? I'm actually going to move us into ministry time with my own story. So probably about 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden, so historically, when I was younger, I had a temper and it would flare and I would just get super raging, upset and angry. And I was able to kind of shield it sometimes, and it would come out in front of my family, or I would try and redirect it within the context of sports, where it's sometimes approved, which is also another side conversation. But God healed me of that. And then when I was in a vehicle accident a number of years ago, 8 years ago, all of a sudden it came back. And then God healed me of it again, and I've been functioning fairly well in it. All of a sudden, 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden this burning anger was around again. I was angry. I couldn't place it. I couldn't understand it. There wasn't really a reason for it. And all of a sudden I heard, likely, encouragement, challenging advice that I've given to all of us, right? And so here's what I did, church. I confessed it to a friend. I confessed it to my wife, who was extremely gracious, and said, you haven't gotten much sleep, right? She was pretty awesome about it. But it was more than that. And then on Sunday last week, I came forward to prayer and I confessed it and had the ministry team pray for me. Okay? Now, there was a definite easing as the week went through, but there was tremendous breakthrough yesterday morning. And it came as I was praying and focusing, and all of a sudden, some situations happened around that, even in the days earlier, were stirring me. All of a sudden, there was this peace. Now, I'm being vulnerable with you in an attempt to say that this is important stuff, church. See, this renew all, this revive all comes as we receive what God has done and actually start to step into it. And that also means that there's nothing that is too small, and there's nothing that is too big for our God to put His hand on your life and to give you freedom. Can I invite you to stand, church? Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for Moses, for his humility, for his honesty, for the way that he journeyed in obedience, for the lessons that he teaches, that you teach through him in Scripture. Lord, we give you thanks for Mary demonstrating this worship. And we give you thanks for Jesus. And Lord, as we stand, let our hearts, through the Holy Spirit, become one. That was your prayer, Lord, that we would be united as one. Lord, we pray a renewal in us. We pray a breakthrough. We pray a revival. I pray a boldness and a courage, Lord, that we would actually receive the truth that you've spoken, that you've given to us, and that in obedience we would take those steps towards you. So just for a few moments of stillness, I want you to listen. I want you to feel for a prompting. And then I want to invite you to just start to make your way forward for communion, for ministry time. God has this amazing fullness for us. If anger is something that you have journeyed with, and you want to be free from it, specifically that, today is the day for you to make your way forward to prayer. And so, Lord, as we move into our week with anticipation, we set our eyes on you. And Lord, as soon as we move into that place of eyes on ourselves or in circumstances or anything other than that, we ask that you would open our ears to that prompt, that we would step back into that place the way that we can every time. Thank you, Lord. So that we can walk in the fullness you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. So just want to encourage you, don't dismiss this. Don't walk away from it. I want to invite you to make your way forward. God is at work. He's moving among us. And so I pray blessing. I pray restoring. I pray joy over you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.